Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The passage that was read to us this morning, Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, Paul is looking at, well, in the book of Galatians, he is combating the Judaizers that would like to take the Christians back to the old system. That is, a system of the Sabbath, the Ten Commandments, the Levitical system, and all of that, that God has removed. And there were some there who thought that you could not be a complete Christian if you were not keeping the law while hanging on to Jesus Christ. And Paul would have them to know that that is not the case. In fact, in verse 4, he says, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. So Paul takes a completely opposite direction from what the Judaizers were teaching. And from that statement this morning, I want to look at the phrase, fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. One of the predominant, popular, false teaching in the denominational world is that once the individual has been saved by God, he can never fall away. He can never lose his salvation. He can never be lost. This doctrine has been designated by several names, and it is used, and a number of descriptions have been used to identify it. First of all, you will be familiar with the expression, once saved, always saved. There is the other title that they would give it, and they call it eternal security. There's a phrase that goes along with this doctrine, that once you have been saved as a Christian, it is impossible for you to lose your salvation. And they make the point, and they use this expression, once a son, always a son. And the idea is that it doesn't matter how bad your natural children are, they can never be not your son. And so they bring this over into Christianity and say, once you are a child of God, there's no way that you can unbecome a child of God. Now, this doctrine of being fallen from grace is one aspect of a wider doctrine taught by Calvin, that is John Calvin, the reformer, and it is called, the doctrine is called Calvinism, after its founder, John Calvin. But this idea of being fallen from grace is a part, as I said, of a wider doctrine. And there is an acronym. And what is an acronym? It's where the letters, the first letters of an idea forms another word. And so we have what we call TULIP. T-U-L-I-P. That's the doctrine that is very popular in the denominational world. And I'll tell you, and I'll show you something. The T stands for total depravity. And what that means is that when man sinned, man became so sinful and so evil that he cannot save himself. God has to save him. Now, if you understand the doctrine of total depravity, then you will understand why people like the Roman Catholic and the Anglican Church baptize babies. Because at birth, you are so totally depraved that you need to be regenerated. So you're either christened or baptized, sprinkled by it, that is. So that is total depravity. There is another part of it called unlimited atonement. And what that means is that, that's limited atonement. It's confusing me. It's this one. Limited atonement. That's what the L stands for. I'll tell you what the U stands for. It stands for something else. Bear with me. It's not my doctrine, so I don't know it very well. It's called unconditional election. And what that means is this, that God, man, is totally depraved. But you see, God, it is unconditional election, that you don't have a choice, that God elects you, and he elects you on no condition at all. He selects you to be a child of his. And then there is limited atonement, that Jesus Christ died only for those whom he has elected. I want you to follow me. Then the I means irresistible grace. And what that means is that you cannot resist the grace of God. That once God has unconditionally elected you, and once he has limited his saving grace to you, you can't resist him saving you. And then there is the perseverance. I hope I'm spelling it right. That's not right, but you know what I mean. Perseverance of the saints. And this is where once saved, always saved is from. If you recognize this, then you will recognize the doctrine of predestination, that God has selected some people to be lost and some people to be saved, and there's nothing that they can do because his grace is irresistible. It cannot be resisted. Now, if you sum up the whole doctrine, what it means is this, that man is so sinful, so evil, that he can do nothing, as I said, to save himself. And so for that reason, God chooses whom he will save and whom he will not save. And that the salvation that he offers to a special set of people, that is those who he is going to save, that they cannot resist being redeemed by him. And they also teach that once God saves you, there is nothing that you can do but to be lost, because he has predestined you to be saved and to be lost. Nothing that you can do. Now, that's the doctrine of Calvinism. And it's very popular and widespread among the denominational world. Now, here is the point. We can fall from grace. The Bible teaches that plainly, and I'm going to develop that. Now, here is the point here. I want in this lesson to look at four things. Number one, what does it mean to fall from grace? Two, can the individual Christian fall from grace? Three, how does a person fall from grace? And four, can I be restored after having fallen from grace? I want us to look at these four topics, four questions, and answer them biblically, because they are important in our relationship with God. First of all, what does it mean to fall from grace? Now, if we're going to understand that concept, then we must first understand what the term falling from grace means. And we can never understand what that means if we don't begin with the idea that salvation is conditional. What does that mean? My salvation, your salvation, is based on conditions. It is not unconditional. The Bible doesn't teach that. And here is the idea. If we can understand that our salvation is based on certain conditions, John 8:31 for me, please, and then John 10:27-28. If we can understand what the Bible teaches in this regard, then we can better understand what it means to fall from grace. Now look at John chapter 8 and verse number 31. John 8:31.
Then said Jesus.
To those Jews.
Which believed in him. If ye continue in my word.
If. What does this if mean? On the condition that. Depending on. On the condition that you continue in my word, then, don't miss this phrase. If you continue, then you are my disciples. If you don't continue, then you can't be my disciple. So this idea of once a son, always a son doesn't apply. Because if I don't continue, I cannot be a disciple. That's the condition. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So Jesus links discipleship to the condition of continuing in the word. In John, let's look at John chapter 10. And I like this one. John chapter 10. Verse 27 to 28. Look at what John says. John 10:27-28.
My sheep hear my voice.
I want you to notice something now. My sheep. What does my sheep do?
Hear my voice.
They hear my voice.
And I know them. And they follow me.
Read.
And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Watch this now. He says, my sheep. Well, you know what John is saying, if you look at the original language, what John is saying is this. My sheep continues to hear. My sheep continues to follow my voice. Hear and follow me. If they don't continue to hear, if they don't continue to follow, they are not my sheep. But here is it now. If they continue to hear, if they continue to follow, they will never perish. No man can pluck them out of their hand. And the Calvinists look at this and say, see, no man can pluck them out of your hand. Yes, no man can do it. But you can choose to come out. What this is saying is not what man can do, but this is saying it's the power of God. Brethren, this is encouragement. You know why? If we continue to hear, if we continue to follow, then we have eternal life and nothing can take our salvation from us. Nothing and nobody. Why? Because Jesus ensures that we will never perish. But we have to continue to hear and continue to follow. And that is the situation here. Now, there is another passage. What I'm trying to show, what does it mean to fall from grace? But you see, you can only understand that if you understand that our salvation is conditional. Turn with me now to Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. And I want to show you the power of this passage. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Let's hear the passage.
In the body of his flesh.
In the body of his flesh.
Through death.
Mm-hmm.
To present you holy, holy and unblameable,
mm-hmm.
and unreprovable in mm-hmm. his sight.
Yeah.
If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
In this text, there are three things I want to highlight. Number one, there in verse 21, there is a description of our former state, what we were. That's in verse 21. Let me hear verse 21.
And you
that were sometimes
alienated and enemies in your mind
by wicked works,
yet now hath he reconciled.
Now hold it. You see, at one point you were alienated by your wicked works. That's your past. But now look at verse 22 and 23.
In the body of his flesh.
In the body of his flesh.
Through death.
Through death.
To present you.
To present you.
Holy and unblameable.
In this present life, you can be blameless and you can be
holy.
Holy. Here's it now. That's what you are now. But now watch the condition. Don't miss the condition. Read.
If ye continue in the faith.
You continue mm-hmm.
in the faith, grounded and settled, and don't move.
You see, you can move away mm-hmm.
from the hope of the gospel.
If you don't move away from that,
which you have heard, and which was preached to you to every creature which
is
under heaven.
You see, if you don't move away from that, heaven will be your home. That's the condition. So the idea here is that our salvation is conditional. So now let me answer my first question. What does it mean to fall from grace? The term fallen from grace simply means this, that the individual Christian has left a state of salvation for a state of lostness. He has moved away from a state of salvation to a state in which he's lost. It also means that the child of God, having fallen from grace, ceases to have faith in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the implication here? I want you to notice this something. Notice this. Watch me. While faith in the atoning work of Christ brings about our salvation, that same faith is required to remain justified. If we lose our faith in God, if we decide to move from a state of salvation to a state of lostness, then we are fallen from grace. So that's what it means to be fallen from grace. But here is the next question now. What happens when we fall from grace? What is that? In Romans chapter 11, go to Romans chapter 11, verses 22 to 24 for me, and hold it. In Romans chapter 11, which some people think is a difficult passage to understand, but we have just muddied the water. It is a plain passage. Romans chapter 11. It is not as clear as mud. It is clear as crystal. Now here is the point. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is teaching that God chose national Israel, through whom or through which Jesus Christ would come to save all mankind from their sins. It was through the Jewish nation that Jesus would come. And what Paul is arguing in that passage is that the national Jew, because they say we have Abraham as our father, they automatically believed that that position, what position? Abraham is their father. They spring from Abraham. That automatically means that they are going to be saved. Paul says, no, that's not how you're going to be saved. You are going to be saved, that is in Romans chapter 11, you are going to be saved by your faith in Jesus Christ. And he makes a comparison between the olive branch and those that are grafted in and all of that. And all that he's saying is that national Israel, Jesus Christ was a Jew. And don't think that because you and Jesus are countrymen, then you are saved. No, you have to have faith in him. And also what he's saying is that the faithful Jew who believes in God, in Jesus Christ, obeys Jesus Christ, surrenders to Jesus Christ, he will be saved, not because he's a national Jew, but because of his faith in Christ. So that's what Paul is arguing in Romans chapter 11. Now, look at verses 22 to 24 of Romans chapter 11 as Paul continues his argument.
Behold,
therefore,
the goodness and severity of God.
Behold the goodness and the severity of God.
On them which fell.
Severity.
But toward thee.
Goodness.
If thou continue in his goodness.
No, you see, here is the point now. You see, those Jews that fell, why? Because of their unbelief, God is going to be very severe with them. But you see, those who continue in the good, and there's a condition, those who continue in the goodness of God, how did they do that? By accepting Jesus for who he was. They are going to receive the kindness of God. Read.
Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off.
Paul is now saying to the Christian, in the same way that God cut off national Israel, you had better be careful because of your unbelief. You don't get cut off too. Read.
And they also, if they abide not.
If they abide not, that's the condition.
Still in unbelief. Shall be grafted in.
Those who were once not Jews, national, if they believe, they will become a part of God's special people. Not because they are Jews, but because of their faith in Christ. Read.
For God is able to graft them in again.
Because God can graft. God can make these Gentiles who are not a people, his people, and the Jews who have fallen, if they come back, God can make them his people again. But you know what this passage is teaching? This passage is teaching, one, the possibility of falling from grace, and two, the reality of falling from grace. Because if they don't continue in their belief, they will be cut off. And you Christians had better be careful, because you too can be cut off. Now here's my point now. How do I fall from grace? Yeah, you see, we can fall from grace, I want to suggest, in three ways. First of all, we can commit suicide. We can commit suicide. we can go into starvation. And three, we can go into strangulation. You mean kill myself? No. I don't mean physical suicide. We can lose our salvation. We can commit sudden suicide. We can commit slow starvation. And we can commit strangulation. How do we do that? How do we commit suicide? We can put our faith to death. How do we do that? By a deliberate choice to stop believing in Christ. We can decide in one go to abandon our faith. We can decide to renounce our Christian convictions. Give up. Can't be bothered. Don't come back. That's spiritual suicide. If you do that, you are going to fall from grace. You know why? Because you would have cut off your relationship with Jesus Christ. You would have stopped abiding in Jesus Christ. You would have stopped walking in the light. And if you're not walking in the light as he is in the light, you have no fellowship with him. That's committing suicide. How do we do that? Many persons have left the faith for relationships. I see this nice girl that I want to marry, and she leads me away. Or I lead her away if she wants to marry me. So I can give up my faith because of relationship. I can commit spiritual suicide by developing doubts about the truthfulness of Christianity. I go somewhere and they tell me that give me some so-called scientific thing. They tell me how man write the Bible. They tell me all about that kind of foolishness. And I believe it, and therefore I start to doubt my Christianity. I can commit suicide by accepting false teaching. I can commit spiritual suicide because there is some displeasure or some resentment or some anger that I feel with some brother or with the congregation. So I just stop coming. That's spiritual suicide. We can abandon both worship and the doctrine of Christ. And if ever we do that, we have fallen from grace because we would have broken the consistent relationship with God. That's how we commit spiritual suicide. But not only that, Hosea, a passage we know, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, we can fall from grace through starvation. How do we do that? We can fail to study the Word of God. We can fail to feast on the Word. We can commit, as I said, slow starvation. Our appetite for spiritual things just wane. You know what I find recently? And it bothers me sometimes. I can't eat as much as I used to eat. No, seriously. I mean, I really can't. While I used to eat a lot, now if I eat 3 spoons of rice and some stew peas, I can't eat anymore, which is not really good. No, seriously. You know, when Dr. Fisher over here says that's good. But you see, we can fall from grace by starving ourselves to death. That is, we do not feast on the word. Hosea 4:6 tells us that my people are destroyed. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. What does Peter encourage us to do? Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can fall from grace if we fail to study, if we fail to read, if we fail to stay in the Word. We're starving ourselves. And look at Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. The lesson will soon be yours. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Let me show you the problem with trying to serve God without knowledge. Look at this. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God
for Israel is
that they might be saved.
Paul had a desire that they be saved. Why you have a desire for them to be saved, Paul? Boy, because they are in danger of being lost. In fact, they're killing themselves. How do they do that? Prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record
that they have a zeal of God.
That zeal is not according to
knowledge.
You know what that means? That zeal is not educated. That zeal is ignorant. You can't have zeal without knowledge. And you can't have knowledge without zeal. Both of them must work together. But he says, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But what's the end result? For they,
being ignorant of God's righteousness.
You know what that means? They are ignorant of the way that God has designed for them to be saved. Because they have a lack of knowledge, they go about trying to save themselves their way. And Paul says, I'm praying for them that they will never be saved. Okay? So, we can fall from grace by starving ourselves. But not only that, we can fall from grace through strangulation. What's that? This happens when we allow the cares and the pleasures of this life to choke out the word from our lives. Jesus told us that in the parable of the soils. When our desire for pleasure, when my desire for job security and friendship influence me away from spiritual things, little by little I'm strangulating myself. When the physical keeps me away from my spiritual needs, I am strangulating myself to death. I will fall from grace. Jesus says the cares of this world choke out the word. And let me close now. If I fall from grace, can I be restored? Yes. Yes, you can. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6. In fact, to get the context, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. This passage teaches that we can, and I'm going to show you how. Because this passage is very misunderstood. Because it is said that, you see, once you're gone, you can't come back. No, that's not really true, and I'm going to show you why. Let's look at the passage. Hebrews chapter 4. Start reading from verse 4 for me. Hebrews 6, verse 4 to 6.
For it is impossible. For those who were once enlightened. And have tasted of the heavenly gift.
You see, these are Christians. So you can fall from grace. These are Christians. They were once enlightened. They have tasted the heavenly gift.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
They were partakers of the Holy Ghost.
And have tasted the good word of God.
They have tasted the good word of God.
And the powers of the world.
Tasted the power of the worlds to come.
If they shall fall away. To renew them again. Unto repentance.
Stop there. When it says the impossibility of restoration, that is not on God's part, you know. It is not that God can't restore them. It is to the point where they have gone and they continue in a relationship, in a state
that they are continuing to sin. They can't come back that way. And let me show you, now look at verse 6. Verse 6.
If they shall fall away.
If they shall fall away.
To renew them again.
To renew them again.
Unto repentance.
Unto repentance, seeing.
They crucify.
You know what that means? Seeing they continue to crucify. Read.
To themselves.
To themselves.
The Son of God afresh.
Son of, in other words, they continue in a state where they continue to be crucified, continuing to live in sin, continuing not to want to come back. God cannot save them like that. They cannot be restored like that. They will end up losing their eternal salvation for good. But you see, God wants you to stop crucifying afresh. And so the impossibility of restoration is not on the part of God, but on the willingness of the individual to flee his unbelief, to flee her manner of life, and make a change through repentance. We, like the prodigal son, must consider our condition away from God and turn. Then, as some people say, God will run to save you. Is it possible to fall from grace? Yes. Is it possible to be renewed, to be restored, to be reconciled to God? 1,000 times, yes. But it depends on you and me. Because my salvation is conditional. And if I continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, then his blood continues to cleanse me. You know, I somehow find that passage to be fascinating. What does it, I'm closing. You can get the invitation, sir. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to be living by the word of God. That's what it means. But it says, if we continue to walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us. Simply put, no walking in the light, no continuous cleansing. As we walk in the light, we have need for continuous cleansing. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, Jesus Christ wants to save you. You need to hear the word of God, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be buried in water for the removal of your sins. If you are here and you have grown weary, you have not been the kind of Christian that you want to be, then you can be restored. God wants you back. He wants to have a right relationship. You come, repent of your sins, ask the church to pray for you, and be restored. And if you do that, God will save you. What's the invitation song?